Blog Talk Radio. Good evening and welcome to Wisdom Walk Talk here on Black Hole Radio. I am your host and guide, Jojopa Maria Enzo-Roman. You may also be experiencing this on my YouTube channel, which is Wisdom Walk 2 Self-Mastery. Wow, 2020 is an auspicious year of change, and March is the first of two nature months, bringing a time of seasonal change. The equinox in March, fall in the southern hemisphere, and spring in the northern hemisphere is an event that illuminates the inevitable changes that we are facing as humans, as old beliefs and structures give way to new ones. Through five broadcasts and an accompanying videos, I'll provide a spiritual perspective and insights on four major shifts that are creating the need for all of us to open up, be flexible, and learn to adapt. And tonight, I'm going to kick off this theme for March with consciously adapting to changes. Yeah, just give an overview about that. But for those of you who may be listening or watching in for the first time, let me give you a quick overview of Wisdom Walk Talk. And for those of you who have been watching and listening to my channel for a while, you might be hearing like, what's that? Wisdom Walk Talk. I thought it was Wisdom Walk. I'm just playing with the title. It just seemed like, you know, I'm doing Wisdom Walk, but this is like the talk version of it because I'm not actually physically in a room with people in a circle doing the Wisdom Walk program. And so I thought, yeah, this is Wisdom Walk Talk. And so I'm going to be calling it that from now on. See how it feels. If it doesn't feel right, I'll go back to what I was saying before. But I like Wisdom Walk Talk, which is a personal development resource for your mind, body, and soul. My ministry is any pain that is not transformed will be transferred. So the essential goal of this work is to support all of you listening or watching out there in learning how to recognize and release any and all pain that may be blocking you from fulfillment in life, or what I like to call having your happy endings in life. Now, every Sunday night at 5 p.m. Pacific time, 8 p.m. Eastern, I broadcast live here on Black Hole Radio. And if for some reason you have a problem with your Wi-Fi or internet during the live broadcast, you can continue to listen to this through your phone. And the number is area code 563-999-3089. Again, that's 563-999-3089. Now, I will upload a video of this broadcast on Tuesdays on my YouTube channel, Wisdom Walk to Self-Mastery. And if you have any questions or comments to share, you can do that on my Facebook page, which is called Wisdom Walk Radio. And you don't have to be a member of Facebook in order to access that. You can just Google it, and it'll bring you to the page. Also, you can go to my website, which is www.wisdomwalktoselfmastery.com, and you'll find access to a email account that you can contact and communicate with me through. Also, of course, if you're watching this on YouTube, you can leave comments in the box below the video. But for right now, I invite you to sit or lay back and join me for an exploration of the inner landscape where we can connect to our soul and discover the true treasure of being human. Wow. What a time we are living in. Here we are at March. Wow. How did that happen? It seems like it happened so fast. Like we just like sped through February. And I hope everybody acknowledged leap year. I did something fun on Sadie Hawkins Day, as I call it, or February 29th, the leap year day. And as always, to open up my shows, I'm going to start by honoring the ancestors. And this week, very interestingly, something different, a little different, because usually I'll do all the ancestors or I'll do ancestors in a specific situation or with a specific gift. But this week, I want to invoke Sammy Davis Jr. Now, it's interesting, this month of March is Women's History Month. So you think that I would be focusing on some female ancestors, which I will do for the rest of the month. But yesterday, after I finished a phone call and was needing to actually send somebody a link to a YouTube of Sammy Davis Jr. singing his signature song, I Gotta Be Me, I came across a documentary that was done on him by Public Television American Masters that I hadn't seen. And I thought, well, let me just check out a little bit of it, you know, and I started the intro and I just couldn't stop watching it. I learned so much about him that I wasn't aware of And they did a really, really nice job of presenting, you know, some of the stories that had been mythologized, and you got some more of the facts about what had happened, what was really going on. But I can tell you that I am just grieving Sammy Davis Jr. today. I am just like weepy about Sammy Davis, and also about his third wife, Alta Vis, and the way that she died. Because Sammy, despite being such an incredible, incredible showman and entertainer, he was considered like the greatest showman of all time when he was living. Because he could do everything. You know, he was even a photographer, along with, you know, one of the greatest tap dancers that ever lived. He could sing, he could dance even without tap. He acted, he played drums, he played the trumpet, I mean, all kinds of instruments. He did imitations of white people before anybody else black was doing that, or anybody of color. Yeah, he was on Broadway. I mean, it's an amazing, amazing human being. But God, so much unhealed pain, so much unhealed trauma in his life. And, you know, he was 3 years old when he was first put in front of an audience. He won a talent show, $10, at the age of three. And by the time he was 10 years old, he had crisscrossed the United States as a performer with his godfather, it really was, and his godfather's brother, three times. He had crisscrossed the United States by the time he was 10 years old. And he was born in 1924, so that means between 1924 and 1934. And you know what that's like? I mean, there were trains. I don't even know how the bus system was at that point, but I mean, can you imagine? I can't even imagine it. Yeah. So clearly someone with a stolen childhood. He wasn't adopted. He had parents, but clearly at the time they were just like, hey, if that makes us some money, take the kid and run, you know. I mean, just amazing. So anyway, his wounding and his pain body come out to really, really create problems for him when it comes to taxes, because he made a lot of money. I think it's estimated he made something like $50 million, which today would be over $100 million during his lifetime as an entertainer. But he didn't pay his taxes. And even if he had, I think, good accountants, or maybe he didn't have good accountants, but whatever was happening, taxes weren't being paid on that money. So when it came time for him to die, it was not a good day. And his wife was left penniless because, of course, as his wife, she was responsible for his debt. So really sad. And like, he never had kept the original, he had no ownership of the original tracks of his music. And just all kinds of things where, you know, his estate could be like Marilyn Monroe, but it's not. It's not. And so it's just so sad to me that somebody that did so many things and had such a legacy to leave to his children, he did have children, was not able to do that because he couldn't pay his taxes. So I'm calling up the spirit of Sammy Davis Jr. to all of us who are entrepreneurs and self-employed, to really, really know that we need to pay our taxes. And yes, we need help with that, because again, I know what trauma and wounds from the past can do to really, really shut you down from being able to follow through on the business end of doing your work. And also too, when you are creative, it's just really hard to get that left brain going to be able to deal with numbers and details. But it's so important. And this is the beginning of March. I mean, U.S. tax day is on April 15th. So I thought, yeah, I guess this is one of the reasons that Sammy has jumped up for me, so I could put this message out there that you need to pay your taxes. Yeah, I'm not going to go into a spill. I am not an economist. I don't know all of the science and stuff behind the whole tax structure that we have in the United States. But I do know that essentially the tax system was set up to really have a collective pot of money that everybody could benefit from. Of course, over the ages, that has sorely been taken advantage of. But the original concept of that is about community and support, you know, collective community support. But anyway, it doesn't matter because, as they say, the only two things in life you really have to do is die and pay taxes. So for those of us, including myself, that just need help to get through those numbers and can get help to get through those numbers, we really need to do that. So join me as I'm going to invoke the spirit of Sammy Davis Jr. And, of course, think about whatever ancestors in your life were really good at that. Like, my mom was really good at that. She was really good at numbers and stuff, you know. So I'm going to call her up, too. I'm going to call up everybody I can think of, and you do the same, that can help you get through this tax season easily and effortlessly. Yeah. Creator, Mother, Father, God, Source, all the one, all that is, we thank you. We thank you. We thank you for your blessing and mercy in our lives and for yet another opportunity to open up to your greater will. And so, Creator, I'm so grateful that you connected me to the story of Sammy Davis Jr. and to his spirit in the way that you did yesterday so that I could bring this message forward and also take a moment to call on him as an ancestor, as a guide, to support doing the right thing around paying taxes. And so, Sammy, I'm calling out to you, you who can see in all directions at once now, you for whom problems here are no longer problems for you, you who came through such an incredible, incredible experience in life and who died so young, you were only 64, and to you who knows what it's like, the consequences of not being able to follow through, not being able to address your demons that would have you end your life in such an unheralded and really just tragic way. And so we need you. We need you. We need your energy. We need your guidance. We need your wisdom. We need your love to support those of us who are still here and who have are challenged by taxes and tax paying. We ask that you come and bring and sprinkle us with your wisdom, with your learnings, with your energy, so that we can get the help that we need and not have to go down the road that you went down. And Creator, I am thanking you for making Sammy one of your emissaries and for bringing him to me to reach out to. And again, we ask and thank you for the blessing of the teachings of Sammy Davis Jr. In the name of all that is holy, I say amen. Ashe Yeho Asah Shinka Bismillah. And so it is. Ashe. Wow. So this week coming up, I want to talk elemental essence for this week, and as well as a little bit of astrology, because we don't have any full moons, new moons. There's no solstice or eclipses. The equinox is not until the 21st. So they get a little in the energy, which is always wonderful. But because we know there'll be more coming. There'll be more of what this year has for us coming. But in the meantime, let me start off with the elemental wisdom for this week, Wednesday, March 4th. Because January 1st fell on a Wednesday. And so from the 4th until the 10th, we are going to have a mineral week. Yeah. And here's the opportunity. It's all about remembering your purpose. Isn't that wonderful? Such a wonderful thing to come out of February and to do. Yeah, it's about allowing the power of love to remind you of whom you truly are, what you really want to do and have and be in your life. Follow your heart and your soul and take the necessary risk to experience your true power and uniqueness. Yes, yes, yes. So along with opportunities will come distractions, you know, that pain body inside of us will try to defeat us and pull us into an alternate reality. Don't let it do that. Stay awake to the following. Choosing to stay in confusion about your purpose. Yeah, like, I don't know my purpose. I don't have a purpose. No, that's a choice, because you can get the clarity about your purpose. Your purpose remains inside of you. It's in your bones. You really do know it, but you got to remember, and sometimes you have to be helped to remember. But don't tell yourself that you can't know your purpose. Not only do you need to know it, you have to know it. You know, and the wisdom that I keep from the Dagara, my teacher said, the most dangerous person in the village is a person that doesn't know or has forgotten their purpose. Yeah, yeah. And think about it. It makes a lot of sense. So stay confused about it. Get clarity about it. Know what your purpose is in life. Also, engaging in melodramas. You know, somebody's always got something going on, that somebody done did something to them, and somebody done lied, and somebody done did this, and, you know, all the stuff that's going on in the political scene and what's in the news. Stay away from it. It's really not a good use of your time and energy. Yeah, yeah. Because when you're on purpose, you don't need to be listening and fooling around with that stuff. You need to be doing what it is that you need to be doing. Yeah. And if it's related to some of those issues that are going on, but even that, you want to be proactive with, and you want to be working on it in a loving manner. Another distraction is taking on problems and challenges that you have the ability to tackle, but for which you're not supposed to, because it's not in alignment with your purpose. Yeah, yeah. That's a tricky one. It really is, because there are times when you're just like, oh, yeah, let me just do that. I can just do that. But you have to really discern. You have to really stop and say, okay, is this taking me away from my purpose, or is this benefiting it? Is this adding to it? You know, but if you find it's out of alignment, no, stay away. Also, another distraction in remembering purpose is fear of failure. Yeah, yeah. You know, and sometimes that can be so unconscious. And the way we can experience it is by just one roadblock after another showing up, you know, something that just kind of keeps us from really stepping into our truth, into our purpose. So pay attention to that. And then last but not least is procrastinating, which is associated with that fear of failure. You know, there just be something keeps coming up to keep us from taking that first step, that necessary step into living on purpose. So, yeah, just be mindful of that, that even that's a choice. Yeah. Now, next Wednesday, the 11th, we'll begin another water week. Yeah, because we had one previously. And this will be a time to release again. And I'll tell you all about that in the next broadcast. Just a reminder that every month I've declared the 22nd of that month to be Earth Day. And so in March, it'll be, of course, Sunday the 22nd. And I will share suggestions with you of what you can do and how you can acknowledge and celebrate this beautiful Earth that we live upon and the importance of doing that. So, like I said, there's no major celestial events going on this week. We do have a new moon. I believe it's going to be in the sign of Virgo that will happen on the 9th of this month. So that'll be next week. But something I did want you to be mindful of, because it has to do with the Saturn-Pluto energy that I shared a lot about during January. And this is about just a transit of Saturn in March. And this information comes from Astro Butterfly, and she's at astrobutterfly.com. She says that although Saturn spends most of 2020 in the sign of Capricorn, Saturn moves into Aquarius on March the 21st, right? And that's right at the equinox, to spend approximately 3 months there until January 1st, when Saturn again, and then it will be retrograde, which is interesting, and it moves back into the sign of Capricorn. Now, if you remember that, you know, Saturn in Capricorn is kind of like a taskmaster. It's about, okay, it's time, let's get this done, let's get this going, you know. But when you got Pluto in Capricorn, in Capricorn at the same time as Saturn, when they're kind of conjunct, that's when you can get this kind of like, yeah, it may be time, but you got to look at this shadow stuff that may be actually being a block or a barrier to things coming out in the right way, you know. So the Pluto energy just pushes up things for us to see that we do need to clear out, that we do need to address. But still, we've got this Saturn, you know, kind of timekeeper saying, come on, you've got to go, you've got to do this, you've got to do this. So it can be, it's an intense time. It can be an intense time. She says that Saturn will stay in Aquarius until March of 2023, when it moves into it for real, on December 17th. Yeah. And so from March until June, we will have a brief taste of what Saturn in Aquarius transit will be like. And, of course, we're calling that the age, the official kickoff of the age of Aquarius. And if you don't know what the age of Aquarius is, you need to listen to the song by the Fifth Dimension. It'll tell you all about it. And one more thing I want to remind you astrologically that is going on is that we are in the midst of a Mercury retrograde, and I gave you information about that in February. And that an important aspect to this retrograde, because it is currently in the sign of Pisces, it moves out next week on the 10th and goes into Aquarius, but it's also bringing this upgrade energy because of the Piscean influence and moving into Aquarius. And so, again, this is Astro Butterfly talking about that there's this rebirth energy that's available. And I don't know about you all, but I definitely have been feeling like a new energy, new beginnings, new start, like things completing so that new things can open up. And this upgrade, of course, is about what's going on in our brain. We're getting access, we're getting more access to new dimensions of our mind. Because, again, there's so much that is shifting on this planet, in this universe, and it's hard for us to stay conscious of it. Or to be aware of it when we're, you know, doing our 9-to-5 or trying to figure out how am I going to pay my taxes, right? And so just to be mindful that this upgrade period is going on, and some of the symptoms that I have felt with it is just, it's not so much like a lethargic, not lethargy, but just kind of I feel like I'm in a whole nother dimension, and I'm not grounded, and so I need to lay down. Yeah, like just needing more sleep, more time for my body to adjust to this upgrade. It's almost like I call it rewiring, but this is different. This is not like a rewiring. This is actually getting more access to parts of your brain that you didn't have access to before. And so it's like this new energy and almost like, can I really stand up? No, I got to lay down, you know. So it's really, it's interesting. I hardly have words for it, but there is that is going on right now. So for those of you out there who are empaths and really sensitive, just know that. Don't fight it. Don't tell yourself I shouldn't be sleepy or I shouldn't be hungry. Or I should be eating even though you don't have an appetite. You know, just pay attention. Of course, always drink your water. Always get your hydration in, you know, get some good electrolytes in that water too. That's important. But, you know, really listen to your body as much as you can and allow for the shifting that is happening, because it's real. It's, we're not making this up. Okay. And that's the 30-minute mark, and I'm going to now go into my theme for the month of March, which is this open up to adapt to the changes that are coming. So here's my overview for tonight. I'm going to start off talking about what conscious adapting is. So I'll give you my definition of that. Then I'm going to talk about the beliefs and structures that are dissolving and what's emerging. And I'm going to be doing this from a spiritual and personal development perspective, right? And then last, I'm going to give you a personal challenge, which I'm calling a, and let me double check, a personal awareness opportunity. Yeah. And my friend Magella made me aware that we don't always need to be in a challenge in order to grow and develop ourselves. And so paying attention to my vocabulary a little more. I appreciate that. So my opening quote for this week comes from the great George Bernard Shaw, one of my favorite authors. He was a great playwright, and he was an Irishman but lived in England. And when I got introduced to him in college, he really cemented for me the fact that I had a social conscience and how important that was. So I really, really admire George Bernard Shaw. And the quote he says is, "Those who cannot change their minds cannot change anything." Yeah, yeah. And that's George. That's his stuff. Like, he would just be really simple, to the point, bam, you know. Yeah, love it. So let me define for you conscious adaptability. Conscious adaptability. You choose to accept new realities and conditions when you consciously say, I'm going to adapt. And the new realities and conditions come to us in four different domains, if you will, four different areas. And one is personal, one is social, one is global, and one is universal. So let me break that down. And also, to just remember, like I said, change is always happening. The universe is always going forward. It's always spinning. Things are always returning. The universe is swelling and growing. You know, there's always stuff. It's always change going on. And so there are things that are going to come up that we need to consciously adapt to. Otherwise, we're going to be in trouble. You know, for example, just give you an example from the past, when the steam engine gets introduced, it becomes the forerunner for the automobile. Yeah. And the automobile is going to replace the horse and the buggy, because that was the main transportation for them. And trains also are, you know, come about as a result of the steam engine, right? And so think about it, you know, there were people who really had to learn how to adapt to these new modes of transportation. The young people were excited, of course, which is always the case, because it's new, it's risky, there's adventure, you know. But the older people are like, I'm not giving up my horse. I'm not letting this buggy go. That stuff there is dangerous. It could break down and this and that, you know. So probably a lot of older people didn't want to adapt, and maybe didn't adapt. But the reality is that, you know, the cars showed up and they weren't going back. You know, they weren't going to go away. And ultimately what happened is that, you know, we see a horse and a carriage now, it's usually take a ride through Central Park or down in New Orleans. You take a ride around in the horse and buggy. It's like a phenomenon, you know. It's something like, oh, wow. Where before, it was like us with cars. Like, that's what you would be seeing all the time. So there's always, always going to be situations that occur for which we are going to have to open up and learn how to adapt to. And if we can be conscious of taking that on, then I think we can do it without being victimized by the new beliefs and structures that are going to show up. Yeah. So let me talk about these four domains and break it down for you. So personally, new realities and conditions are, of course, things that affect you directly. So that could be a health challenge. That could be an emotional challenge, you know. Yeah. Social are things that affect how you live, how you relate to, and commune with other people. And that could show up as a new job, relocation for college or work opportunities or retirement, you know. It's social media or even the impact of mass shootings in the United States. You know, all of that requires our ability to adapt, requires adaptation. Now, globally, these are things that affect every living thing on the planet in different ways. So global warming, earth changes, the global economy, population explosion, and nuclear power. Yeah, these are things that can affect everybody on the planet, but in a different way, in different ways. And then universal, these are things that affect every living thing in our solar system in the same way. So, for example, when a solar wind comes through, that solar energy, and the Earth's magnetic field isn't able to, you know, withstand it because it's so much, right? That's going to affect everything. Ain't nobody escaping from that. Exactly. A supernova that explodes somewhere in the solar system can have a gamma ray effect on everything in the solar system. And then the existence of black holes, you know, it affects everything. Yeah. So these are just throwing out to you some of the examples of how personally, socially, globally, and universally we are given things that we have to adapt to. Yeah. Have to adapt to. So conscious adaptability, besides choosing to accept these new realities, whatever shape, form, size they come in, you are also willing to learn how to adjust to these new realities and conditions. Yeah. And then last but not least, you're willing to grow your capacity to modify your thoughts, your beliefs, and your behaviors that are in conflict with your new reality and conditions. Yeah. So let me talk about what I consider some major beliefs and structures that are dissolving. And these relate to how we relate to ourselves and others, so that's social, how we work, how we exist, and how we personally develop. Over the last 150 years, there have been some significant changes in how humans live, how they eat, how they learn, how we communicate. It's been so many changes. It's been unprecedented. There's been more changes that have happened to humanity in the last 100 to 150 years than has happened in the last several thousands of years. And so with this kind of change, it's very easy for us to feel victimized, you know, to, you know, actually feel afraid of life, because it seems like there's nothing constant. There's nothing to hold on to. Things change and evolve so fast. And we get we have access now to more information. And so we're learning more easily about what's going on. And it can be mind-blowing. It can be mind-blowing. But the following beliefs that I want to talk about and their related structures, let's be clear that these things are changing because they no longer make us feel good or right. They're no longer working. It's no longer working. And there's this life force energy that exists, or it's also called the evolutionary impulse of the universe. And it's always moving us forward. And one of the ways that we become conscious of necessary change is that what we did before, it no longer keeps us happy, safe, comfortable, fulfilled, human in our lives. It's like we have a problem. We have a problem. So these changes that I'm talking about that are happening, and, you know, they're, again, embedded in belief systems, it's really coming about because we have outgrown these old ways of thinking. Stay with me, because if it's kind of sounding crazy, it's going to make sense eventually. By the end of the month, it'll make even more sense. So here's one of the first ones. This is a belief system that has been around for a very, very, very long time. But it is starting to dissolve, and it is codependency is love. Now, codependency is where we give our power over to somebody in order to get what we want from them or get them to be something for us. It could also be where I need that other person so that I can feel like I'm something, so that I can feel like I'm in power. I need somebody who is dependent upon me, so that way I can feel like I'm in charge, you know. Anytime we need someone or something outside of ourselves in order to make us feel okay, that's codependence, And so one of the reasons why codependency is no longer being thought of as love is not just because of Melody Beattie's book, Codependent No More, but it is because we're losing our tolerance for it. And one of the ways that codependency shows up is in domestic violence. And we, as a species, are really starting to lose our tolerance for that. You know, it used to be that it was, I mean, these things are laws, you know, that a man could beat his wife or he could beat her, just make sure that the marks aren't someplace that it can be seen in public, you know. There's all this kind of craziness, And so there was a time that in society accepted that it was okay. It was thought that, you know, this is love. This is what you do in a marriage, you know, in a relationship. But no, we are losing our tolerance for that. Another belief system is about work as survival, that work is for survival. That's why I go to work. I go to work so that I can food in my stomach and a roof over my head and that I can survive. To artificial intelligence and the internet, along with digital technology and 3D printing. Yeah, all of these advances in technology are really shifting that, because what's happening and has been happening, again, over 150 years, as things have become mechanized, things that humans used to have to do are being done by machines. What does that mean? That means that humans, for the first time, were getting leisure time. Yeah, vacation time. This is unheard of over 150 years ago. You were on a farm. You can go on vacation if you want a vacation. Who's going to milk the cow? Who's going to churn the butter? Who's going to take care of the crops? There was no vacation. Exactly. So as things have got mechanized now, it's like people have more time on their hand. And when you have more time on your hand, you start to think about, am I happy or am I not happy? You know, like you start to consider things that you couldn't consider before. It's a luxury to be able to do what I'm doing right now. Because people back in the day, not everybody could do this, you know. Very few people have the luxury of doing it. So work as survival, that is shifting. Another belief system, everything and everyone is disposable. Yeah, and of course, you know, there's still too much of that going on, right? Definitely. But, you know, shifts in warfare, how war was fought since the 1800s, and the emotional and ecological intelligence that is rising fast up in human consciousness is really shifting us and having us question that. We're still not quite there, you know. We still kind of are enacting that there are disposable people on the planet, and that everything that's on the planet is for our use, and we can dispose of it as we want, you know. And then again, a lot of this is more in Western mentality, not indigenous mentality. But again, that is definitely shifting. It definitely has to shift. You know, just look at the amount of plastic that they're finding in the bottom of the ocean that is destroying ecosystems. You know, yeah, that lets you know that it's hurting us, really hurting us. And then the last one that I want to talk about is this belief system. And it's interesting because it connects to my Sammy Davis interests. And that is, success only requires money. Success only requires money. Although, you know, thousands of years ago, people knew that money can't buy love. They knew the limitations of money. After the television show Dallas came on, it seems like we forgot that. And we stepped into, everybody's got to have the lifestyle of the rich and famous, you know. But we are in the process now of really redefining success, money, creating more unhappiness because we see through so many stories, tragic stories of celebrities and those considered wealthy, how just having money is not going to keep you from sad events in your life, or, you know, not knowing your purpose or not knowing how to really be happy and fulfilled in your life. Yeah. And some things that are contributing to this have to do with, you know, and it's only been about maybe 80 years in, well, since the middle of the 20th century, the psychological advances, where psychology goes from just being about people with mental health to a psychology of how can we improve ourselves. Yeah, what they call positive psychology. And, you know, Maslow, who is noted for laying out this hierarchy of really, it's a hierarchy for achieving self-actualization. Like, how do you become your best self? And he said that first you have to have your basic needs met. But once your basic needs are met, there is this pursuit of beingness, being the best version of yourself, which is what self-actualization is truly about. Also, the discovery of multiple intelligences, meaning that unlike what school, how schools are still pretty much structured, where we only give recognition and credence to basically your ability to read, write, and do math, that there are all these other intelligences that are really important if you're going to be in the world and be self-actualized. And it could go from anything from musical intelligence to social intelligence, moral intelligence, and of course, emotional intelligence, which is now being pegged as one of a major, major skill sets for jobs that are coming in within the next 10 years. I mean, it's not even like 20 years from now. It's like within 10 years that you are going to have to demonstrate emotional intelligence for the jobs that are coming as a result of, you know, artificial intelligence taking over the need for somebody who knows how to read and write and do math and even speak, because, you know, so the AI can do all of that. Yeah. So it's like, so what can humans do? Oh, that's right. They can be emotional because AI can't do that yet, right? Like yet. So our need for emotional intelligence has really gone up. So those are, like I said, belief systems that I see dissolving, and I shared with you some of why it's connected to what's connected to that dissolution. But now I want to focus on what's emerging to take the place of these old beliefs. And you'll notice that the statements of the old beliefs were pretty short, like, you know, codependency is love. You'll notice now with the new beliefs, it gets more, the sentencing gets more flowery. Like there's more explanation that's in the sentence itself. Yeah, I think that's really interesting. So instead of codependency as love, we're in a position now where codependency is evolving towards interdependency, meaning that, yeah, you may start out codependent, but you know that you have to get to interdependence. And that's an equality, a shared resource, a shared capacity to respect, honor, and support yourself and another person in relationship, whether that is intimate relationship, whether it's a business relationship, it doesn't matter. But it's like that's what we are headed toward. And again, some of the, you know, advances in psychology and whatnot have really helped to move that. But also, like I said, we're losing our tolerance for the codependent behavior, especially that which creates domestic violence. Yeah. Next, instead of work as survival, work is an expression of our gifts, talents, and humanity, and provides the opportunity for personal and social growth and development. Yeah. And I am a huge promoter and teacher of that. Yeah. Yeah. And again, as we have more leisure time, as you know, more things get mechanized, that is the question. So then what does work need to be about? If it's not for my survival, what is it really about? And to me, this is another type of surviving. It's really a thriving. That we can go from, you know, just thinking that I've got to put up with this dead-end job or dead-end situation. No, I can really use my gifts and talents. And, of course, you know, the Internet has really helped, and the World Wide Web has really helped to bring that about even more, because there are people on YouTube who have a career making YouTube videos, being YouTube influencers. Yeah. And they are supported by Patreon. You know, they have people that donate to them on a monthly basis that gives them enough income to do the work that they love to do, to share their creative gifts and talents. Yeah. In regards to everyone and everything being disposable, the new belief system that is emerging is everything and everyone has divine origins. And we can learn to grow our humanity and have reverence for all living things, plants, animals, humans, including our earth. Yeah, yeah. And again, so there's this wonderful book, and I will be mentioning it all month, by Gary Zukav called The Seat of the Soul. And Gary wrote this. It became a New York Times bestseller. To me, it's one of the, what I call New Age 101. For a New Age 101 course, like, this is one of the standard readings that everybody alive today needs to know about, because it's in here that he lays out this notion of reverence for life and how we've gotten away from that, and how we can we reclaim that, how we need to reclaim that as we move forward in our human evolution. And then last but not least, this belief that, you know, all you need is money and you can be successful, that is morphing into true and lasting success comes from self-actualization, achieved through the discipline of self-mastery, which money can't buy. Yeah, yeah. Because, of course, it's something that, you know, you have to take on. You have to take on being on your personal journey of growth and development, regardless of how much money you have or don't have. Because the money is just a tool. And if you get a lot of it but you haven't self-actualized, you'll be like Sammy Davis Jr., you know, just like money gone, because you can't address the spending addiction that you have. You don't understand how you have this drive to show off and please people because you're so empty inside. You didn't get that nurturing from your mama that you needed, or you didn't get a chance to do forgiveness of somebody from the past. And so you're driven, you know, like an addiction to just have no, you're not valuing yourself. And so you can't value your money, you just let it go. And so again, what's most important now to have what is truly success in life is to be able to love and honor yourself, feel your worthiness, know that you belong, know that you're capable, and to be able to support others in that truth for themselves. Yeah, again, that interdependence. So here's a personal awareness opportunity for you this week in regards to this information. Now, if you are accepting of these emerging beliefs, I invite you to take on learning how to grow your adaptability to them by first seeing how these beliefs are showing up in your life. I'd like you to identify which emerging beliefs you're currently adapting and which you are not. Choose one you would like to work on and set an intention, say a prayer, for right information and supports to show up for you within 3 months' time, right? Yeah. Want it to happen within 3 months. And again, this is how we can consciously take on adapting to the changes that are all around us, that are showing up around us in so, 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 so many ways. Now, just a reminder, I want to do a shout-out to those of you who have joined me and my friend Magella Green for the 40-day challenge, which we've changed the title to Sit Down With Me Practice, 40-day practice. It started last Wednesday on February 26th. It'll go until Sunday, April 5th. And if you still like to do it, you're still in a good time period where you'll get the benefits of taking it on. We will be posting an update on Tuesday. It'll be on Facebook. If you're not my Facebook friend and you can't access my timeline, you still can access it on my Facebook page, Wisdom Walk Radio. Yeah. And I can tell you, I got some stuff to share. It has been really, really good with biting my nails. So it's been very interesting. Letting go of that sedating behavior and what pain has showed up for me, which is why I'm grieving Sammy Davis Jr. That's why I'm grieving Sammy Davis Jr. Yeah, because I can connect with that in terms of some family members. Yeah, I can connect with his story of not being able to really value himself. The other thing, too, I want to say is that the personal challenge I just gave The personal awareness opportunity will be listed in the box below the YouTube video, and I'll also put it onto my Facebook page, Wisdom Walk Radio. And if you haven't subscribed to my channel, please do so. It really helps me be able to continue to do that work. Thank you. Wow. We come to the close of this session of Wisdom Walk Talk. I want to first close out by thanking my wonderful engineer, Miss Yvette Parker, and the entire Black Hole Be Well family for, again, really, really being there to do what it is that I don't want to do to make sure that I broadcast every Sunday. I am so, so grateful for that. I also want to shout out to all my regular listeners and, of course, to Miss Sarah, who knows so much about conscious adaptation because she was born in 1924 and she is still here loving her life. I need to put her on here so she can just rap to you all about this is what you got to do. Can you imagine 1924 is when she was born and all the changes that happened in society and to women, and she's still here loving life. So she's proof that it's possible. Yeah. To all of those who have wisdom walked with me and you know who you are, to my family, my spiritual kin, my transformational leadership colleagues, and my medicine brothers and sisters around the world, like Asu and Ina, who I love dearly, and to those who are listening in for the first time, thank you, thank you, thank you so very much. I could not do this without your listenership. Now, next week, I will continue my spill on the March theme of Open Up and Adapt, with adapting to family and relationship changes. Again, just a shout out for my book, Wisdom Walk to Self-Mastery, available on Amazon, also in Kindle form. You can also Google and find it on through Walmart at a cheaper price. I even found it in a Canadian seller and I think somebody in Ireland. You know, it's just all over the place, so it's very easy to find. And also I wanted to say that somebody recently said to me that they hadn't purchased it because they were afraid they wouldn't be able to understand it. Like, it's going to be too esoteric. It'll just go over my head. And I'm just laughing. I was just laughed about that. I was glad to get that feedback, but I was laughing. I said, no, you need to understand that what the Wisdom Walk is about is taking very esoteric information, but putting it into a form that you can access. I make a lot of allusions to cultural, pop culture, especially pop culture for me as a boomer. I start off talking about the Peanuts cartoon. I use that as an example. I use movies. In fact, the last five chapters of the book are movies that illustrate the points that I've been making about each of the medicine wheel elements. And so I'm glad I got that feedback so I can tell all of you who may be thinking the same thing, like, is this going to be too heady over my head? And the answer is no. Check it out. It's something that you can access. I very purposefully wrote it so that the men of my program could easily access it. Some of them, because of their past life traumas, did not get to school or did not complete school. And so I wanted to make sure that they weren't going to be, you know, feeling like it was over their heads. It was be something that they could access. So anyway, just wanted to share that. And then, last but not least, I want to thank my ancestors, my spirit guides and loving entities, everything that walks with me, keeps my head to the sky, my feet to the ground, and my heart open to do this important work with and for all of you. Have a fabulous mineral week. Remembering your purpose, choosing not to be confused about it, and most importantly, please remember, you are not disposable. You are divine. Good night now.
I hope you enjoy Convergence, and thanks again for sharing this part of your lives with us. It's been a real pleasure.